The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
New Kids on the Block.
Sonia, I don't like Sonia.
Jason Donovan, Beagle, sorry to be predictable. Eric Jameson, the Birdie song. Can't even know. That guy Terry off the word Ruby Wax. Mr. B.
Yellow Beagle.
Hello and welcome to Room 101, the programme with a bad attitude and its hands in its pockets. Each week a guest celebrity will be attempting to persuade me, Nick Hancock, that their least favourite ballads, books and television programmes are worthy of a place in Room 101, BBC Radio's North Sea for the noxious and nauseating. I will say yay or nay using a sophisticated scoring system and a magnet. This week the man keen to let seep some bile is comedian and station master Rory McGrath. I've put station master in because you wanted to be described as a station master.
I know. Well, my agent phones the application in and asks me what I do for a living, so it's useful to sort of know these things. So, comedian, I'll make a note of that just in case. That'll be a great help.
Absolutely. Okay, well, look, we're straight into your first choice. Let's have a listen to this. Does that need identifying, really? The House of the Rising Sun, obviously, mind you, lots of youngsters might well not
know
what
it is. I know, that's the thing, that's House of the Rising Sun by the Animals. When we youngsters, you'll remember this, Nick, I learned to play the guitar. That's the first song you want to play. The trouble is, it's got an F in it, and F, quite accurately named, actually, for a guitar chord, is one. Can you see this? You know, it's one where you have to get all your fingers around like this.
And so, very difficult. I thought you were going to say it's got an F in it, so you could do some F-ing joke. I thought it was, you were building up to some sort of pretend swearing there.
Oh, right. But we can't say that.
No, absolutely not.
Otherwise, I'd have honed in on the C chord, which follows it.
this is just a frustrating time as adolescents.
Yeah, and you know, when you meet older boys who play the guitar, they say, oh, give us your guitar, right? And they play that, and I think...
Yeah. There's a number of things that irritate me about it. It's lyrically extremely suspect.
Oh, I agree. I think the last verse is, with one foot on the platform and one foot on the train, I'm going back to New Orleans to wear the button chain. Now, he's not going anywhere unless he moves one of his feet,
oh,
is he?
Oh, no, you're into your mode of station master again here.
That's right. You?
Come on, get on the train, please.
Get on or get off.
It's not going to go in, though, tragically.
Why not?
It's just not going to go in because you can't have something by Alan Price... when Alan Price wrote Andy Capp the Musical. That's lower down anybody's list. So I'm afraid it's a flawed choice and does not make it into the
I don't believe in it. I don't believe
well,
it.
Well, bad luck. And your next choice now. Is their careers now. The tumbleweed is going down through the Hawkwind recording studios.
It's when you record in a very cheap studio near Heathrow, isn't it? You know, and they've got double glazing.
That's right. So what particular objections do you have to this beautiful piece of music?
As a guitarist, it's no problem. They obviously decided the first four chords we learn, guys, will be in our first song. And so they're E, G, A and B, which is the same chord moved up.
Rory, we've got station master and guitarist here all of a sudden.
Yeah. Hawkwind, easy to play. In fact, I'm surprised they didn't all manage to learn to play it, actually. I'll tell you what irritates me about it. When you're a bit older, the idea of young people trying to be hard, I think, is laughable. Whenever you see top thoughts of young people who are about 14 and all very skinny, being hard, you just feel like kind of whacking their teeth. You know what I mean? And Hawkwind, like, when they came out, I've got a silver machine and I'm still feeling mean.
Yeah.
I mean, what, Nick, does that mean...
That means quite a lot to me.
But I've got a silver machine, it's a toaster.
What? So what your objection is that you feel that it isn't offering very accurate advice or isn't telling you enough about the sort of machine?
It's skinny men trying to be hard talking about something which I can only think is a toaster or perhaps a garlic press or something.
Yeah. I don't like it because I have to admit that I've seen Hawking in the 1980s, which is a terrible thing to have to admit.
Yes, I read about that. Man turns up to Hawking concert. That was you.
Yeah, man at Hawking concert. Also, do you know that Lemmy of Motorhead used to be in Hawking?
Motorhead. The German group, yeah. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, and he's from Stoke, so there you go. But I think he's probably a Vale fan, so we'll...
A lot of pretend hard men from the Midlands, aren't there?
Lemmy probably is quite hard, I imagine.
No, he's not.
What, you reckon you could take him any day?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a little challenge out to Lemmy, if you're listening.
If you're listening, Lemmy,
I'm sure that Lemmy does. Lemmy does listen to Radio 5 habitually.
If you're still outside broadcasting us when I come out, Lemmy, watch it.
It doesn't get in, I'm afraid.
I can't believe it. What is it? What book you've got here?
This is the British Hit Singles.
British Guide to Hawkwind Singles.
Hawkwind is on the same page as the sensational Alex Harvey Band, and they released Delilah, and Delilah's the unofficial Stoke anthem, so it doesn't go in. Right, most hated object next. We have something to listen to, which apparently gives us a clue.
All right.
Où sont les lavabos? C'est à droite. À gauche. Où est la chambre de Jean? En face, dans le couloir.
Où est la chambre de Louise?
C'est un étage plus haut.
Well, there's only one useful line amongst those, which is Où est la chambre de Louise? I think
yeah.
You would never get around to...
I don't know why they're playing it, because the object I've chosen is Lloyd Grossman's Strummer. Oh, that's when I chased that, didn't I? No, you're quite right. It's the French language.
The French
language. Is that an object? Or is that a...
Well, I think you'll find... I'm very dubious.
A concept, isn't it?
Object. A material thing that can be seen or touched, says the Oxford English Dictionary, and you've chosen the French language. Stretching a point, I think.
Well, the French language... Say something in French to me, Nick. Go on, say something in French.
Bon, c'est concorde.
It proves my point. You cannot say anything in French without sounding repulsive. And nobody speaking... You can never sound nice speaking French. You always sound ugly, and people sound ugly speaking. I just don't understand. A friend of mine who's a big fan of the French language says, how can you...
Big fan of the French language, what? Sort of goes away to French.
Yes. Come on, you French. come on, you long Français. He's a big fan of the French language. He's got all their posters.
All their albums.
But a friend of mine is a big fan of the French language. So how can you dislike the French language? It's got one of the most beautiful words in the world in it. I said, what's that? Well, it's the French for twilight. I said, what's that? Crépuscule. Say that again. Crépuscule. Is that an attractive word? And that is the French most pretty word in the French language.
Yeah, but you've deliberately done it in a slightly high-pitched voice and oversight. Lots of
you mean a very accurate French accent, are you?
I basically don't agree with you here.
Well, let's put it this
work
way.
Work harder.
Okay. Charles Aznavour was French. Have you heard him singing?
Now you're on the right tack.
What else?
Now you're appealing to my better...
I know what it is about the French. They haven't got a word for 80.
Now, I'll accept that.
They go, 30...
Well, I can never work it out.
40, 50, 60. Suddenly they come to 80. And they don't go 80, which you'd expect them to. They go 80, which is 420s.
See, what you've done here is you've taken a very broad sword to something that really needed a very, very tiny, incisive instrument.
Well, we could go through the language.
If you had chosen as your most hated object the French word for 80, I would have been lapping it up. I would have been so happy. But no, you've tried to be a little bit clever. you've said no channel tunnel. You've gone wading in.
And what's the French for channel tunnel then?
Je ne sais pas.
That's right, actually.
It's not going to go in.
Oh, I don't believe I'm getting anything in yet.
It doesn't go in for the two reasons that if you'd have chosen the French word for 80, it would have gone very comfortably. And secondly, you don't know what the English word object means, so how could you possibly judge another language? Bad luck. Okay, one more. Enough of this frippery.
Frippery.
Well, I'm New York City born and raised. Now says I'm north between two shores. It's fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. I am myself.
I am sad by Neil Diamond. If you're too old, you have to take two eyes out. I think that's acceptable for a rather poor joke.
It is. That's the sort of thing the French do with English words. They just cut out some of our letters.
It's not going to be allowed, and there's an end of it. Now stop it. Go on.
That's going to go straight in. I don't think I need to explain, do I, why that needs to go in room 101?
I'm afraid you do.
Because that bit of room 101 with my name above it is completely empty.
Absolutely. There's anything in there. You know what happens if you don't get anything into room 101 of your choices? You go into room 101.
God.
That's what happens.
But it's only pretend, isn't it?
No. Honest. Don't let the magic out. Don't let the magic out. Go on.
Well, this is shameless, this song. For a start, Neil Diamond thinks he's a star. And I know this because I saw a recording of his concert at the Albert Hall. And he walks out on stage. And the Albert Hall is absolutely packed. There's not a seat empty. And Neil Diamond walks on stage as if that's to be expected.
Doesn't this raise some questions about you, that you saw a recording of his concert at the Albert Hall? Do you get this out of your video shop?
I got it out of a... I got done by this bloke who was selling blue movies on the street corner.
So carry on.
You're recording a hit single, right? And just while you're writing the tune, we guitarists, you write complete gibberish just so you can carry the tune. Da 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 da. I am, I said. Neil Diamond's not such a good writer, thinks this is the final lyric, you know.
Yeah.
So he can write a line which... Did you ever read about a frog who dreamed of being a king and then became one? There's no tune, it's any one note. Well, except for the name and a few other changes, when you talk about me, the story's the same one.
That was definitely the part of the song that baffled me most, because did you ever read about a frog who dreamed of being a king and then became one? No, first and foremost. Now, your premise? No, I haven't. Well, except for the names, he's given us no name here.
Yeah.
And a few other changes. This is where he gets out of it, isn't it? That's me. And the story that he said about him is that he's moved from New York to LA. And that's the same as a frog who dreamed of being a king and then became one.
He's
comparing his career with Kermit's.
But Kermit's done rather well, hasn't he?
That's true. It's going to go in. It's going to go in.
Oh, good.
A diamond is forever, but not Neil Diamond, surely. We're going to open up the door of room 101. There's a specific category of... sadness looking after the room today, and we may be able to identify it from what we can hear as we open up the door and throw Neil Diamond and I Am, I Said in there. Just got that?
It's a theme tune or something. Give me a clue.
Starsky and Hutch.
Is it Starsky and Hutch?
Absolutely correct. Well done. You're up running.
In fact, actually, that David Soul, we're talking about punks and people looking hard. But David Soul really was hard. You see him on Top of the Pops. He didn't have to swear, didn't wear dirty clothes, but he was well hard.
Yeah.
The first punk, actually. I think that's the word.
Yeah. Although certainly the first punk, David Soul. You heard it here first on Room 101. And may I say how delighted you look to have got something in Room 101. What a competitive man. That he clenched his fists and held them aloft. Okay, most hated town or place? Talk us through it.
Well, not far from your stamping ground, I have to choose Leicester, and I don't think any explanation's needed for this.
You've got this all-purpose, sort of vaguely Brum accent for anywhere between Lincoln and Bristol.
Here's a challenge for you, Nick.
Yeah.
Do me a quick Birmingham accent, a quick Stoke accent, and a quick Leicester accent, and go and see if I can distinguish them.
I'll do Tipton, Dudley. That's Birmingham, okay.
Yeah.
Stoke, you like that? All right.
Yeah, I'm identical, yeah, go on.
Identical. And East Midlands is slightly more difficult, but it's a Gary Lineker, basically, and I can't do it. Talk me through Leicester, then.
Well, you know when you took your year off in between school and university, didn't you, like most people of your age, me included, deliver foam rubber to the catering industry?
Strangely, I did.
Yeah, and everybody does. I think it's a phase you go through. And I was delivering foam rubber in the East Midlands and East Anglia to various restaurants, as you do.
They said,
Rory, we told you we don't want any
foam rubber.
And don't come back, because we'll call the police or the social services. But the only place that makes foam rubber in England is Leicester, as you know.
Well, as you come within about 12 miles of the environ, I did a French word for you.
What ugly word?
Of Leicester. You get those little brown heritage signs that say, you are entering foam rubber country, don't you?
Yeah. But my van broke down outside Leicester, and I had about £1,000 worth of foam rubber. Yeah, that's a lot. Street value. The van broke down, and it was the coldest night ever. And I was stuck there all night.
What, even colder than like some nights during the Ice Age and things like that?
I think so, yeah. Your memory's probably better than mine. colder than the Ice Age, and I thought, one day, if they're in room 101, and they'd say, what's your least favourite place, I'm going to say Leicester.
What sort of van was it?
To Bedford.
Well, see, it should have been Bedford then, shouldn't it? Where they made this van that broke down.
They didn't make them in Bedford.
It's not Leicester's fault that your van broke down, is it?
But if they didn't make foam rubber, I wouldn't have to go there to get it, would I?
Yeah, again, your argument is... I'm so glad you didn't choose it to do law as a profession. Your arguments need to be tapped like a lightly boiled egg, and they fall apart. All right, I'm going to let you have Leicester. I'm going to let you have Leicester because I feel sorry for you because your powers of argument are so weak. I'm going to let you have Leicester because Steve Linex, who is a decidedly average player, always played very well for Leicester against us, and therefore I hate them. It's in. Open up the door. Throw Leicester in.
Hawaii 5-0.
Right, so, is there a pattern emerging? We had Starsky and Hutch and Hawaii 5-0.
Is it something to do with,
secateurs?
Children's books?
Well, we'll see. Maybe there'll be another one. If you'd like to phone in...
That's not hay fever, is it, you've got?
No, right, I'm just starting to move to Birmingham.
So yeah, that's how people talk.
Okay, most hated film. Your most hated film. I know that you wanted to have...
I wanted to Truly Madly Deeply.
Yeah, which is shown on a continuous screen in room 101. On all the walls.
But, I mean, I wanted to have Don't Look Now in any hall, but, you know, I plumped for Basic Instinct. Do you have seen this film?
I haven't seen it, so you're...
It's a film with Michael Douglas, some pot-bellied, wrinkled old actor. I think he's Kirk Douglas' grandfather or something. and he plays this... man who was so good at sex that he managed to, just by the sexual act, transform this psychopathic woman into a lover. You know, that's an unbelievable story, but it's made more unbelievable by the sight of old, fatso, wrinkled face Michael Douglas. There's one scene in it, and he goes to this rave disco, and outlandish people with sort of strange coloured hair and wearing just thongs of leather and G-strings, and they're all taking all sort of drugs. And he wanders in wearing this sort of V-necked green sweatshirt, and he looks like an absolute... He thought I was mouthing then.
I don't like the name. Why? Because they've suddenly gone for these two-word names, haven't they? Basic Instinct, Fatal Attraction, Action Hero, First Take, Indecent Proposal, Innocent Blood.
Dances with Wolves.
Two words.
The Bad and the Ugly.
You know, I said suddenly. Two words, two stars, two shit to watch. I'm not going to let it in. I'm not going to let it in.
I've upset you somewhere, haven't I? What is it, Nick?
It's Michael Douglas. You've been very harsh on Michael Douglas.
Have you ever seen him in a good film?
No, but he has a very, very, very important role to play in The Streets of San Francisco.
Really?
As man being upstaged by Carl Malden's nose. In The Streets of San Francisco. In The Streets of San Francisco. They didn't have to have one of those whirly lights on the top of their car, because Carl Malden could just stick his nose out of the car window and point it upwards, and people would know that they were coming. So they...
One of Dustin Hoffman's first roles before he got famous was as Carl Malden's nose, you know. For the costume, he was the right height for the costume.
He probably spent months being a nose for somebody else just to get himself into the part. Right, it's not him. More music, please. No, 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 no. Bob Dylan, Blowing in the Wind.
It's either that there's a rock, sort of folk rock, Irish-based folk rock thing at Finsbury Park every year called The Flower. I don't know if you know it.
No.
But I was there. Van Morrison and Bob Dylan were so-called topping the bill. And the strangest thing happened, because just before Bob Dylan was due to come on, this little scrawny guy comes into stage in a baggy, really wrinkled black suit, goes at the microphone, and goes, me, good, me, and of course he gets a huge laugh, and you know, everyone wonders how the security people let this guy in. And,
is it Rory Bremner?
It turns out to be Bob Dylan himself, and everyone can't believe it. It's ludicrous. Because previously just been a small, fat, bald Irish bricky doing a Van Morrison impression. And as it dawned, horror dawned on this crowd in the rain that night that this was Bob, and they sort of went away and said, it was appalling. He's now given up pretending on any difference in his tunes, you know, and because he can't remember which voice, whether he's doing a nasal voice, which he did for a while, I just thought I had to choose any song by Bob Dylan because I think he's one of the most overrated people of the 20th century. Was that me? No, it's Bob Dylan. And I chose this one because it seemed to be the most fatuous song, and it was a protest song, wasn't it?
What was it protesting about?
Protesting against good songs.
There's far too many people getting their vinyl out on the streets these days, and here's proof positive of it.
There are far too many good singers around.
Yeah, I reckon that that he thought these lyrics were really, really, really rubbish, but he showed them to Neil Diamond, and he said, they're brilliant, those are. You definitely should use those. Anyway, it doesn't go in, because you obviously haven't read the Room 101 rules, which say you can't have anybody in Room 101 who inspired the name of a character in The Magic Roundabout. This has come up before, hasn't it? Robert Dougal, we couldn't have, for the same reason. Florence Nightingale, Brian Ferry, none of them could go in because they've
Stan Zebedee.
Exactly. Queen Ermintrude III of Bulgaria. No, none of these could go in. So bad luck. Okay, most hated television program. I think we'll get some of the theme music for that. Ooh,
gotta get up, gotta get out. Ooh, grab the world by the throat and shout. Ooh, gotta find it, get us a share. Ooh, make the bread out of nothing but air. Rising high, the ground. Doesn't matter, cause we'll soon turn it around.
Well, before we go 1 second into this, I have to say that it's in. It's the finest choice. It's obvious. It is the worst thing that's happened to British television ever.
I agree.
I was going to do a comparative, but there aren't any comparatives.
Almost word for word what I wrote down here. We're talking about Bread by Carla Lane.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Now, isn't it odd? Do you know what people say about Liverpool? Oh, everyone's funny in Liverpool. They've all got a gag to tell. You've got to be a comedian to live there. And yet here we have evidence.
Well, you've got evidence before Bread even started, because Stan Boardman's from Liverpool. So that proves that Scousers don't have a natural sense of humour, doesn't it?
It's incredible. You can get, you know, have 11 Scousers in a room, and for half an hour, none of them comes up with anything funny to say. I mean, that must be... I mean, I suppose that's why it's on television. It's unique, isn't it?
But also... No, that's unique. But also, there are 4 young men under the age of 35, and not one of them's got a tash.
That's true, that's very
they're
odd.
Scousers. Please.
Because they are...
Please, let's leave the real world. Also, you know, in the Radio Times, where they put the little listing of what it's about, you know, Bread, a family... It never once said, a happy tale of a group of relatively well-off Scousers defrauding the DHSS, which is what Bread's about. Mm. They've got a lovely house, they've got everything they could possibly want, and in the signature tune it goes... Make a bed just out of air. Get the penny. Miss out on a pound. They're fine. What's the bloody problem? There's plenty of people in Liverpool have a horrible, poor life and scrounge around for money. But this family, the Boswells, they're just a bunch of on the make chances.
Mm.
Full stop. It is in. And also,
thanks to me.
Also, I think a very good argument for abolishing the honours system is the fact that Carla Lane got the OBE in 1989. So there you go. Open up that door. Throw it in. Good timing.
Very good.
What was it?
That was the theme tune for Poirot.
There's what I've been. It's all that end of town, isn't it, down near France? Yeah.
Talking of French, very ugly language.
Bergerac.
Bergerac.
Perfect timing. John Nettles played Neris Hughes' boyfriend in The Live Birds.
Do you remember that? I remember the line. I quite like The Live Bird. So Carla Lane isn't all bad. That had some jokes in it, actually.
Yeah.
What, 3?
Carla Lane was given, when she was born, 7 jokes, and she used them all up on The Live of Birds. Anyway, more music.
Walk on, walk on, we'll hold in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never.
Yeah.
Yeah, need I say more? I mean, actually, I'm sorry this has come so close to bread, because it's going to turn into, like, slagging off Liverpool.
No, because the thing about bread was, it brought no reality to I think most people who live in Liverpool hate bread, don't they?
Yeah, they probably think it's set in the Midlands.
Yeah, they think, where the hell's this set?
Well, there's a lovely moment to happen to me. May the 28th, 1989. Anfield is the place, the home of...
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Mr. Arsenal fan. Yeah, go on.
And the cops started singing this, you know, walk on, through the, you know, as they do, with about minutes left. Arsenal 1-0 up. And if it had stayed that way, Liverpool would have won the championship. Because we needed to win by two or more goals. And the cop was singing this, and there were shots of Kenny Dalglish, not quite smiling, that would be too much, but, you know, sniggering a bit. And then, of course, 57 seconds into injury time, with 9 seconds remaining on the referee's watch, Michael Thomas, now plays Liverpool, broke away and scored. And silence from the cop. It was the most wonderful sound ever. Wonderful sound. I bet even as Stoke City supporter, you thought, I'm glad Liverpool haven't won the championship.
No, I wasn't glad, Rory, because I just thought it summed up how a horrible, disgusting, vile club Arsenal are. That's what I thought. So there, you see, I wouldn't let Arsenal get away with anything. They ruined my youth.
It's too true, unfortunately.
It's going to go in. It's going to go in. But only because it's usually sung by misguided Stoke fans when we're 4-0 down at Ipswich. And why can't clubs realise that they're helping the Liverpool myth by singing this song? Nobody should sing it but them. Let them have it, and let's leave it at that. That's what I say. That's my serious point for today.
Can I just... A possible tautological use of misguided Stoke fan there?
You're a very funny man, Rory. And that was? We've opened the
shaft.
Good effort, actually. Similar sort of a beat to it. No, that was The Professionals, I think.
Oh, really? Yes. Yeah. Two skinny weaklings, puffy actors pretending to be hard men, isn't it?
That's right. Mm. Basically, a lot of your conversation today has reverted back to how hard or otherwise anybody is, which I think is fair, actually, in a good way.
Yeah.
That's the way you should judge people, I think. So, I Am, I Said by Neil Diamond went in. Leicester went in, but that was a bit of a sympathy one, because you weren't doing very well at that. And I'd just like to say to all the Leicester fans that congregate in that pub opposite the station that when I go there this season, don't try and beat me up like you did last time I went there. Bread went in, and You'll Never Walk Alone. So, Room 101 was presented by me, Nick Hancock, was stewarded by a series of rather poor television detective series, and starred guest Rory McGrath. The producer was Litter Evans.